Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Aris Zukanayan.
Today, I want to continue from what I shared last week. Now remember, last week, I talked about how is it or why is it that prayer is so important. Now, Pastor Kong has finished the series on prayer that's so important for us to have the prayer life of Jesus. But last week, I built on that by saying that it is important for you to understand that prayer is not just a tool of transaction to get what we want from God. Now, I mentioned that it's important for us to have a strong prayer life, a good dynamic prayer life. But it is to have the right understanding as well to know that prayer is not just a tool for us to get what we want from God. Why? Is it because the Bible says that on that cross of Calvary, there is a great exchange that happened when Jesus died on the cross for you and me. And that exchange is that He wants to take away your burden and exchange it with His rest. He wants to take away your sicknesses and your diseases in exchange for His healing and for good health. But how does that great exchange happen? Now, remember, we started last week by reading Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to verse 30. So I'm going to read Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says here, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me and get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. To learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Because I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly." So I said last week that the way God's exchange happened to us is not through the way of a transaction. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," and He wants to give you rest. There's going to be a great exchange. And usually, when you are burdened, when you are full of pressure, right, it's because of a crisis. It's because you are in a dilemma. It's because probably you are facing a situation just like how all of us here are facing in this world with this COVID-19 situation. We are panicking. We are in a crisis. And there are so many problems that we are encountering right now. So we become weary and we become burdened. I have good news for you. Jesus wants to give you rest. But how did that exchange happen? How can that exchange happen in your life? Remember, it's not through the way of a transaction. Or it's not by works. It is not salvation by works. But it happened through a substitution. It happens by God's grace. That means Jesus wants to come into your life. He wants to take over your burden. But you got to allow Him to come in. You got to allow Him to come into your circumstances. And that's why last week I said that prayer is not about getting. But prayer, it is about being. It is about becoming. It is about being or becoming more and more like Christ. Because prayer transforms you. The reason why you and I need to pray still is not to get what we want, but it is to transform you so that you and I can arrive into a state of being where you will ultimately can say to the Lord, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." And remember, last week, once you reach that state of being, of "not my will and your will be done," what happens is that your prayer will somehow gravitate towards God's will instead of insisting on your own very will. And very often, when you reach that state of being, you will come into a state of total surrender and complete trust in God. That despite of all the chaos around you, you know that Jesus loves you. You know that He is in control over your life. You know that He will never let you go. and you know that you are safe in His hand. And that's the time where you are able to release all your pressure and say, Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. And very often, that is the time the exchange of burden to rest happen. And I showed you last week through the examples of Mary and Joseph. We learned that rest is not when your crisis or your situation disappeared or removed. But instead, rest comes when you realize, like Mary and Joseph, that there is a will, there is a greater will more at work in you than your own very will. That you realize that God's will is more at work in you than your own very will. And you begin to come to a place of surrender and complete trust. You will be like Mary to say, nevertheless, let it be to me according to your word. So, when you surrender and completely trust yourself in God for the outcome, instead of insisting on your way for the outcome, you will experience the rest of God. So last week, we talked about this, and I gave you point number one. Why is it important for you to understand this? That is, learn the unforced rhythm of grace. So point number one last week was understanding or learning the unforced rhythms of grace. That God's way is not your way. You cannot force God, you cannot coerce God to do things that you want Him to do. That's why you need to have a understanding. Now, last week, you know, I heard some of the people telling me or giving me a feedback, but Pastor, you didn't give me things to do list. You didn't tell me homework. What's the homework that I must do? Like, for example, meditating on a scripture. No. Last week, I was talking to you about understanding first. Understanding the unforced rhythms of grace. Now, this week, we're going to go into the action. That's why we want to go to step number two. So what is step number two? Step number two, just now we read in Matthew chapter 11, walk with me and work with me and watch how you and I can learn the unforced rhythms of grace. So it is about walking and working to understand, or walking and working to be able to step into the rhythms of grace. So point number two, we need to learn to step into the unforced rhythms of grace. And that's what we're going to talk about today, this week. Now, in short, this term, unforced rhythms of grace, is what we said last week. It is learning to be saved by grace. Salvation is not by works, but it is by grace. But many of us will find it a little bit hard to grasp. What does this term mean, being saved by grace? Or what does this term mean, to step into the unforced rhythms of grace? It's hard for us to grasp this. So that's why I want to talk to you about it today. And I want to begin by reading to you Psalms chapter 62, verse 1. Now in Psalm 62, verse 1, David said this, truly my soul finds rest in God, and my salvation comes from Him. Truly my soul finds rest in God, and my salvation comes from Him. Now, in these Psalms, David is saying this, that all these years, walking with Jesus, walking with God, all these years, right, his faith was that he realized one thing. He realized what it means to be saved by grace. And he began to describe it. Psalm 62, verse 1. Notice the order that David wrote. The order is that he finds rest in God first, and then his salvation and his deliverance comes. So it's not the other way around. It is not that he experienced salvation and deliverance first. Then he obtained the peace. He obtained the rest of God. No, he said that he obtains the rest of God first, and then he experienced God leading him out of his problems. So the order is very important, not the other way around. In all of David's experiences with crisis and troubles, and mind you, David experienced many crises and troubles in his life. He has learned that the best way to get out of them all was that he needed to learn to get that rest from God. He needed to learn to wait upon the Lord until his soul finds rest in Him. Now, this is what I want to talk about today and my focus. I want to read to you one more time. In all of David's experiences with crisis and troubles, he learned that the best way to get out of them all was to wait upon the Lord until his soul finds rest in Him. And then he realized his deliverance and his salvation come into his life. You know what? This is totally contrary to what we Christians are accustomed to. Because when we go through crisis and troubles, our hearts find no rest. Why? Because we are running helter-skelter looking for the solution. Our hearts find no rest because we are anxious and we are worried because we want to quickly get out of our problems as soon as possible. So, we are running helter-skelter. We are waiting upon the Lord. No. This is not the right way because this takes too much time. So, we become very anxious. We are in a hurry. We become impulsive to find out how to get myself out of these circumstances. So, what do? We become impulsive. We become hurried to devise our own plans. We want to become more proactive in order to come up with a solution so that we can get out of this mess or problem ourselves. But David said, that's not how I solve my problems. I discovered that the way God delivered me is to always learn to wait upon the Lord first until my soul find rest in Him. And then I realized God delivers me and my salvation comes into my life. You see, church, this is contrary to what we are accustomed to. Because we are always in a hurry. Because we always want to come up with our own plan to get ourselves out of problems. So what do? Right? We try to find our own ways. We try to come up with our own plans. We try to come up with our own solutions. And we struggle to understand why is a loving God take so long to answer us in times of our desperation? That's why we wanted to help God. That's why we want to take matters into our own hands. It's almost like right now, every other day when we wake up or when we are about to go to sleep, we read the news that the COVID-19 situation is not getting better. But it's just that the cases are increasing every day. So we struggle to understand, why is it that a loving God takes so long to answer us in times of this desperation? You know what, God? Don't you realize and don't you know that we are already doing online service for 6 weeks already? How long more must we wait? So we think to ourselves, maybe it's because God is angry with us. Maybe it's because God is angry with us for being naughty the last few years, especially 2019. That's why He ensured that 2020, you and I are experiencing so many chaos and problems. Now, when we have this kind of mentality, when we have this kind of mindset, right? What do as a Christian? Guess what? We will up our frequency to pray. We will up our frequency to go to prayer meetings to pray. Because thinking that the more we pray, the more we up our frequency, we can somehow push God to do something about our current situation. Or at least wake him up from his sleep. We decided to change our behavior to become good Christians. All this while, probably you realize that you have not been behaving well. But because you are faced with this crisis, you say to yourself, you know what, I better behave well right now, thinking that by doing so, we can finally get God's attention or win his heart over so that he is obligated. To get me out of my crisis. You see, that's what salvation by works mindset is all about. You know, I want to show you this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 9. And as I'm reading this verse, in the context of what we are talking about today, learning to be saved by grace, to step into that grace of God, what do you mean? It says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 9, Jesus says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask Him." Now, when I read this verse, I often wonder, what does this verse mean? Now, does it mean that, you know, I cannot come to God, keep on asking Him to answer my prayer when my prayer has not been answered? So is it okay for me to come to God every day to pray the same thing? "Lord, let this virus go away. Let this situation get better." Is it okay for me to ask God that way? Church, absolutely okay. It is fine for us to do that. But as I begin to read this verse in the context of how God saves us or delivers us, I begin to see one thing. It is not that God does not want you to tell Him what you need. You should, and you must. But it says over here in verse 7, "But please, do not use vain repetitions, thinking that you will be heard for your many words." In other words, God wants us to learn to pray persistently, not mindlessly. God wants us to learn to pray persistently, not mindlessly. That means don't think by increasing the frequency of your prayer or your devotion, you are therefore now entitled to get God to do the thing that you want Him to do. Don't think that by increasing your spirituality during times of crisis like this, it will obligate God to do what you want Him to do. This is mindless mindset. This is mindless thinking, mindless prayer. He already knows what you need. The Bible says that He knows what you need even you come into prayer. Listen, do you think God doesn't know what's going on in this world? I can tell you this, God reads the newspaper more than you do. He knows what's going around in this world and He knows the situation, it's not improving. He knows it. He knows that you are anxious. He knows that you are worried. He already knows this crisis that you and I are facing right now. He already knows it. So let me tell you this, He loves you. And He wants to protect you. He wants to get you out of these current circumstances as well. He knows it. So therefore, why do we pray then? Why must we pray then? Listen, this chapter in Matthew chapter 6 is very interesting because this chapter continued with Jesus teaching the disciples the Lord's Prayer and ending it in verse 25 by telling them, "Do not to worry about life, what you will need or what you will wear, because our Heavenly Father knows that you need of them." In other words, what Jesus was trying to tell you is this: pray persistently, not mindlessly, but pray persistently until you enter into God's rest. Until you enter into that state of being of complete trust in God, of complete, you know, surrender to Jesus, that He loves you, that He will take care of you, that He will never leave you nor forsake you, that He will never let you drown to die. You know, that's what He wants you to do, to pray, to come to a state of rest, to come into a state of total surrender. Because, friends, the blessing of God comes out from the rest of God. Comes out of the rest of God. The blessing of God comes out of the rest of God. Listen, church, this is so important. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to pray persistently, not mindlessly, not thinking that by doing so, God is obligated to rescue you. I tell you, God loves you. He wants to help you. But He wants you to pray so that you and I can come into a state of rest, of total surrender, knowing that He loves you completely, that everything's going to be all right. City Harvest Church, don't live in fear. Everything is going to be okay. God is in control. Hallelujah. Now, friends, why is it that it's important for us to pray like this or to come into that state of being, of rest, to understand that salvation is by grace, not just by works? Why? Because when you try to do things your way, when you are in a hurry or impulsive, try to solve problems yourself, try to devise plans for yourself to get out of the circumstances, guess what? You may get out of your current circumstances, but you can get out of the will of God. Listen, I'd rather be in the will of God and still in problems than to get out of my problems and get out of the will of God. Why is it so important? Why is it so dangerous? Because if you get out of your current problem using your own plan and it is out of the will of God, guess what will happen? You will eventually get into a deeper problem. You will eventually get into a deeper crisis. And that's something that we want to avoid. To get out of this hole, to fall into a deeper hole. Now, church, sidetrack a little bit. That's how so many people fell into many, many scams. Do you know that in Singapore alone, based on the report this year on the 5th February in Channel News Asia, in 2019 alone, do you know that, church, scam crimes increased by 54%? And out of the 54%, 27% of that total crimes in Singapore is actually scam crimes. And guess what? The top three scams are internet love scams, investment scams, and business impersonation scams, totaling a whopping $117 million cheated of hard-earned Singaporeans' money. Wow. Now, church, I can tell you this. During this time of COVID-19 situation, when we and I are hard-pressed, when you and I are feeling pressured, when you are being cornered, when you are actually, you know, feeling helpless, you know, you've been praying and it seems that God is not working, it seems that God is not listening to your prayer, there is a tendency that we try to get ourselves out of our problems. And you know what? When we are cornered, when we are feeling pressured, most of the time, we are vulnerable for scams like this. You see, when you have been praying for your life partner for so long and you have attended all of Pastor Jeremy's singles session, singles events, and until today, you still have yet to get any phone calls from any guys, you can get discouraged. And not only discouraged, you will think that God has forgotten all about you. And you will think that God is not listening to you and your prayer is not being answered. So guess what? After a season, yeah, right? What do? You know, you get very impatient. You tend to get yourself to be in such a hurry. You become very impulsive. And guess what? Suddenly, out of the blue, from your email, you receive an email, a person coming to you that say that he loves you and he wants to marry you. And he sent a picture of himself to you. Now, probably you do not know who this guy is. Maybe you are a millennial, you know, right? You don't know who is Brad Pitt. But this guy sent you a picture of Brad Pitt and you thought that this is him. And guess what? He told you, I want to marry you, but you need to send me $20,000 first so that I can come all the way from Florida so that he can come to Singapore to marry you. And you send that money. And guess what? Instead of getting a life partner, you have been scammed into this internet love scam. You know what? Our business is not doing well. And this COVID-19 situation is not making things better. It's making things worse. So we become desperate to keep it afloat. And guess what? Suddenly, in your internet box, in your email box, someone offers you a quick, rich opportunity. In our desperation like that, we become suspect to such scams. You know what, church? My handphones, the last few weeks, especially during this COVID-19 situation, I received many, many more text messages of, do you want to get personal loan? Do you want to go for soccer betting? You know, easy money, quick loans? I can tell you this. These are all scams. These are all people that are trying to get your money. These are all loan sharks in disguise. And if you are not careful, you may get out of your current circumstances. But guess what? You fall into a deeper crisis. Listen, church, our impatience and our impulse sometimes can cloud our judgment. And as a result, we fell into such scams. That's why David said in all of his life, he has learned a valuable lesson in order to get out of crisis and troubles. What did he say? I wait until my soul finds rest in God. I learn to wait upon the Lord. Why is it that I need to learn to wait upon the Lord? So that I can come into a state of rest. So that my ears are open to hear what He has to say. And so that when He starts speaking, I can start acting. And how many of you know, one word from heaven is enough to change your situation around. That's why this is what David is trying to tell us. Learn to wait upon the Lord until your soul finds rest in God. And then your deliverance and your salvation come into your life. Listen, the blessing of God comes out of the rest of God. You know, if there's one homework that you need to do this week, don't fault me, right? So I'm giving you a homework. The homework is that why don't you learn this week, since everyone is working from home, WFH. Now listen, working from home is not working from holiday. Okay, right? It's not holiday, it's home. Hallelujah, right? Now, working from home means you have more time for yourself. Why don't you take some time to pray, to wait upon the Lord until He speaks to you? That is your homework. Now, this is important because I want to go deeper. All right? Are you guys still okay? All right? Let's go deeper. Another version of Psalm 62 verse 1 says like this. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. Wow. Now, do you notice, once again, this verse, that David didn't share how did that salvation come? He didn't say, I waited for the Lord, and He told me to do this, this, and this. Then my salvation comes. No, he only said this. I waited for the Lord. From Him comes my salvation. From Him comes from my salvation. That means it is not how, but it is who will deliver you from your problems. Now, church, my soul silently waits for God until I hear from Him, right? What must I do? How is my salvation is going to come? Listen, our human nature tells us to wait silently for God or for our salvation, or for our prayer answer, is foolishness. In fact, many of you will be saying, Pastor, why is it that waiting upon the Lord silently until He speaks to us, right, is a solution to my current problems? This is stupid. This is foolishness. Why? Because it is hardly productive at all. Because you're not doing anything. You're just praying. No, church, you may be saying, how can you expect to receive or get anything when you're not doing anything? But I want you to know, it's not that you are doing nothing. You are waiting upon the Lord. Now, during this period of uncertainties, when you come to Jesus to get rest and to trust Him fully for your problems, listen, prayer and waiting upon the Lord are hardly passive and useless. In fact, it is one of the most active and useful thing to do when you are faced with a crisis. Why do I say that? Because waiting and praying upon, or praying and waiting upon the Lord, it is a disciplined holding back until everything is made right for me to act. Now, church, you may be thinking there is no activity in front of you, but that doesn't mean that God is not working behind your back. In front of you is chaos, but do you know, the world will see things as chaos, but to God, it is not chaos. In heaven, it is called rearrangement. God is a God of order, and when things are out of order, He is doing something to rearrange things so that everything is made right again. So in the world, it seems that it's chaotic. It seems that it's out of control. But do you know, in heaven, it is rearrangement. And everything is under God's control. So what is He doing? Right now, on this earth, I can tell you this one thing. He is not out of control. I can tell you this one thing. He is not, you know, forgetting us. He is not taking a holiday. That's why all of us are in chaos right now. No. He is actually rearranging things. He is actually making things right again so that His purpose will prevail, so that the glory of God will come into this earth again. Now, church, that's why when you know that God is actually doing more things behind your back, then what is the purpose of praying and waiting upon the Lord? It is so that you can hear God. It's so that you can listen to God's voice. It's so that you can hear that when things are made right and when God speaks to you, it's time you can start acting. So, waiting in prayer is a disciplined refusal to act before God acts. Just like how I gave the example just now previously, when people are scammed, it's because they want to get faster than God. They are trying to help God. But if you begin to learn to wait upon the Lord, you're able to hear God. And when you're able to hear God and listen to God's direction and instruction, it is a disciplined refusal to act before God acts. In waiting in prayer, you and I become aware that God is still in action. City Harvest Church, when you look at the chaotic situation around us right now, understand this, God is still in control. Even though it is chaotic, but it is not chaotic. To God, it is still under His control. And when you are aware that God is still in control, you can be rest assured that everything's going to be all right. You can be rest assured that things are going to turn out good eventually for you and I, even though sometimes you cannot see it. So that when circumstances are ready, when the right people are in the right place, and when hearts are prepared, God will call you into action. And when you are ready to hear from God, and when your mind and your hearts, you know, are free from hurry, are free from impulse, your ears become more sensitive to hear God's voice. And when everything else are ready, and when God calls you into action, you're able to discern, you're able to hear, and you're able to spring into action. And how many of you know, things when done at the right time, at the right place, is going to bear forth a great, great reward. That's why the Bible says, be still and know that He is God. When you are not still, when you are always in a hurry, when you always want to do things your way, you only know that you are in control. You only know that you are God. But when you learn to be still, when you learn to wait upon the Lord, you become aware that He is God after all. City Harvest Church, God is still in control. That's why we need to learn how to be saved by grace. How do we step into that rhythms of grace? By learning to wait upon the Lord. By learning to pray and wait upon the Lord. The Message version calls it the rhythms of grace. And if it is a rhythm, it's like a music. It means the way God works is not set or limited to one set of pattern or method only. It's fluid. It's unpredictable. It is ever changing. Remember what Pastor Bob preached about the Holy Spirit? He said what? The Holy Spirit is like a wind. No one can predict the direction the wind blows or flows. As such, to learn to work and walk with the Holy Spirit, you need to learn to entrust yourself and to learn to flow together with Him. That means you need to learn to totally surrender yourself to Him and completely trust the outcome to Him. You know what? If it is a rhythm, sometimes there are days that God takes longer than expected to speak or to act. or to even answer our prayers, to show us His purpose, to show us His plan behind this pain, to show us the message behind this mess. And maybe sometimes He don't even answer us. Sometimes He even say to us, let's get ready, it's time for action. But it requires us to flow with Him. It requires us to learn to wait upon the Lord. It requires us to, you know, unhurry ourselves. It requires us to pray and to come into a state of rest so that we can hear God, so that we can listen to God, so that we can stop speaking and start listening. Remember, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. God, when? When is this COVID-19 going to end? When is this situation going to end? And start listening. What God has in store for you in this time of chaos and in this time of mess. I can tell you this. God has a great destiny for you. And God has a plan for us here in City Harvest Church in the midst of this chaos. But if we learn to pray, if we learn to seek God and hear from God, I can tell you this. If we act according to what He wants us to act, His instructions, there are great rewards that is lying ahead of us. Hallelujah. You know what, church? You know what? In closing, I want to give you an example. Last week, I gave you the example of Mary and Joseph so that you and I can understand what it means, right, to flow into the unforced rhythms of grace. But today, this example, through the life of Moses, I want you to learn the importance of waiting upon the Lord to hear His voice and then to act. Let me give you this example. Remember, when Moses was asked by God to go up to the mountain, he stayed there for 40 days before he was finally given the Ten Commandments and the rest of the instructions to build the tabernacle. How many days was he up there? 40 days. Now, let's pick it up. Exodus chapter 24, verse 12 to verse 15. Are you guys still okay? Praise the Lord. He says here, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here. Come up to the mountain and stay here. Now, listen. Jesus said, come up to the mountain and learn to wait upon me. Come up to the mountain and learn to stay here. City Harvest Church, learn to stay where you are. Don't go to the toilet right now. Right? Don't walk out. Don't walk off. Stay here. Now, it says here, why is it that you need to learn to stay? Because I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. I want to speak to you. And then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Now, listen. God told Moses to come up to the mountain and learn to stay here. Learn to wait upon Him until He speaks to him. Until God speaks to him. So Moses in turn told the disciples, told his people, wait here until we come back to you. So both also must learn to wait. And then he says here, Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. Now listen, church. While we are gone, right? Yes. Until you hear from God, you still need to learn to manage your current circumstances. So in this COVID-19 situation, you still need to learn to manage the current circumstances. You need to learn to manage and navigate through the difficulties that arise from this COVID-19 situation. But at the same time, open up your ears to hear what God is speaking to you in these current circumstances as well. So yes, you need to navigate, you need to manage it, right? It is our responsibility. But at the same time, learn to open up your ears. And at the same time, to hear what God has to say concerning these current circumstances. Now, he says this. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain. And on the 7th day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. And to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. And then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain. And he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now listen, church. Moses waited for 6 days up in the mountain before finally on the 7th day, God said, come into the cloud. And then he stayed in the cloud for 40 days in total, waiting upon the Lord until God speak to him concerning the laws and the instructions of the land. Now, I want to ask you this question. How many of you agree with me? To go up there and to wait for 6 days until you get your turn to go in, it takes a long time. Now, you know what? For us in City Harvest Church and for us Singaporeans, right? We can't wait. If you go to a place and you look at your queue number and your queue number says 6 days later, then you will be called in. I can tell you this, you will quickly go home. But the Bible says Moses went up to the mountain and he waited for 6 days. No activity, nothing around him, nothing to entertain him. There is no television for him to watch. There is no internet Wi-Fi. There is nothing. He is being quarantined for 6 days. He is in self-isolation for 6 days. He has nothing to do except to wait upon the Lord until God says, come in. Listen, he waited. He learned to wait. Now, he says this, right? The Bible says, he waited and finally when God calls him at the seventh day, he went in. And the moment he went in, he waited another 40 days. And inside that cloud, God began to reveal to him the instructions of the land, the 10 commandments that is so important to us right now. Now listen, church. Only while he is inside, waiting upon the Lord, and then God began to speak to him. Moses chose to stay and wait patiently for God to finish speaking to him. And then he came out of the cloud. And do you notice, even after he came out of the cloud, he speak only what God told him to tell the people. He disappeared into the cloud and he reappeared again to only tell the people what God wanted him to tell. Do you notice, he didn't go into the cloud and come out telling the people his experience in the cloud. Now, if I were Moses, I would do things differently. Because if I got invited to Mount Sinai and to go up to spend time with God for 40 days, you know what I will do inside the cloud? You know what? I will be taking pictures. I will be taking my phone. And I will be Instagramming. I will be doing Insta stories. I will quickly put up and set up a new Instagram account and call myself Prince of Egypt No More. And I will record all the things that is happening inside the cloud. And I will, you know, record. And I will not only record, you know, I will tell the whole world. You know what? Insta story. Hey, guys, today I'm with Angel Gabriel. You know, look at this. Gabriel is here. And look at this, the Ten Commandments. I'm so excited to share with you what I have to say when I come out of the cloud. You know what? If I'm Moses, after I have finished with God in the cloud for 40 days, I will come out. And I will put up a set of slides or pictures of all the things that happened inside the cloud. And I will start a conference tour all over America to tell the world of my experience in the cloud. But do you know, do you notice that Moses didn't say that? Moses didn't do that. When he came out of the cloud, he only tell the people what God wanted him to tell. Because he went in to hear from God. And he came out to only tell the people what he heard from God. He came out only telling people what God told him to tell. He knows to stay silent about himself in order that he might talk only about God. In fact, that's why after 40 days when he came out, his face shone with the glory of God. That means what? When he learned to wait upon the Lord, he's being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Remember, the glory of God, what we learned from Pastor, the glory of God is so that you and I can be conformed into the image of God, into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Learning to wait upon the Lord, learning to hear from God, learning to stay in the presence of God until you hear God's voice will transform you into the image of Christ. You will come out, your face will shine with the glory of God. This COVID-19 situation, if we learn to wait upon the Lord, if we learn to hear from God what He has to say, and when we act upon what He has to say, I can tell you this, our church, you will come out of this situation. Your face will shine with the radiance of the glory of God. Hallelujah. But different from what's happening below. Do you notice what happened below? The below is the people. Now, guess what happened below? Exodus chapter 32, verse 1, right? The Bible says this. When the people saw that Moses was so long. Pastor Aris, today you preach too long. You know, I cannot wait anymore. I'm breaking my concentration. When the people saw that Pastor Aris is preaching too long, when they saw that Moses took too long, when they saw that God takes too long to answer my prayer, when they realized that God is not speaking to me and He takes longer than is required to tell me and to answer my prayer. He says what? When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, guess what? They gathered around Aaron and said to Aaron, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened. We don't know what happened to him. What happened to the people below? Remember, Moses was asked by God to go up and he needs to learn to wait and stay, to wait upon the Lord until God calls him. And then Moses gave an instruction to his people. What did he say? Stay here and wait here until I come back. The people were also called to learn to wait. But the people couldn't wait because Moses was taking too long. And then he says this, we do not know what happened to him. Guess what happened? We always say like that. When God takes too long, we say to one another, we do not know what God is doing. We do not know what God is happening right now. What's happening to God? I don't know. What happened? They grew restless from waiting. They do not know how to wait upon the Lord. They grew restless. Their backside is itchy. So guess what? They start moving. They start going, you know, to the toilet, looking at your Instagram. Your hands become itchy, right? Like now, okay, right? So you need to hand sanitize your hand. Hallelujah, right? That's right. So you need to go to the toilet. Your backside becomes very itchy. You need some action. You need some movement to provide some form of certainty and direction. Guess what? When nothing happens after 6 days, when nothing happened after 40 days, the people grew weary and they got bored. I hope you guys are not bored with my preaching. Listen, church. We are always looking for a religion that has no demands, only rewards. We are looking for a religion that bedazzles and entertains, in which there is no waiting and emptiness. So when we tell you to wait upon the Lord, when we tell you to be still until you know that God is in action, you tell yourself, this is not the kind of faith that I want. The kind of faith that I want is that I want a lot of action. I want a lot of bedazzling. I want a lot of entertainment, whereby my faith is always in action. But after a while, when you are in a crisis, and when God seems to be taking His time, when there is no activity, when there is nothing around you, guess what? You will look around for someone, an Aaron. So you came to church, in City Harvest Church. You said, you know what? I believe that in this church, my problems, you know, there is a special anointing in this church that can remove all my problems away. But after you have been here for three years, you still have not gotten your prayer answered. You still have not gotten your life partner. So what do? You get edgy. You get irritated. You get impulsive and impatient. So what do? You try to find someone else. You try to find another place that can provide you instant results. They can provide you instant answer. And in this case, the people look for Aaron. Now, when I was reading a book talking about these circumstances, this book gave a very hard description about Aaron in this event here. He says this, Aaron was like a mercenary pastor or prophet who will help us to make up some sort of golden calf so that they can turn their boredom into some spiritual activity in order to get some direction. So rather than learning to wait upon the Lord, they turn to some pastors or prophets that can spring into action on your behalf, that can somehow provide some spiritual activity to assure you that you are in the right direction. But in doing so, you are making for yourself a golden calf. In a moment of boredom, in a moment of impatience, we turn our backs on the love of God. We turn our backs on God Himself. That's what we want to avoid. City Harvest Church, God loves you. And God is not deaf. He wants to speak to you. But you need to learn to wait upon the Lord. Until you hear God. Until you listen God's instruction. Until you are ready to spring into action. Because He has already made everything right for you. According to His timing. So that when He calls, you can just respond. That is the best way to get out of crisis and of trouble and for your deliverance. Learn to wait upon the Lord. That is the thing that you must do this week. You know what, City Harvest Church, in closing, I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. He says here, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Do you know, church, this word weary, the English word for this weary, is not just the word tired. But this word weary, it means tired of. Now, that means if you run and you get tired, you will stop, you will rest for a while, but you will continue. But if you are weary, if you are tired of, it means this. You are running, you get tired, and you stop, but you cannot continue. Why? Because you are now tired of running. Those who learn to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The grace of God will come upon you new every morning to give you strength to live for another day, to fight for another day, to go through this problem for another day. The grace of God will come upon you. But the requirement is you need to learn to wait upon the Lord. And church, that's why to understand the rhythm of grace is to come into God's rest and to trust Him to do His will instead of your will. And the thing is this, if you learn to wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will not be tired of running. You will not be tired of believing. You will not be tired of praying. You will continue to pray persistently until you can enter into God's rest and God will deliver you. And that's why I said this. If you do not know how to rest in God, you will only know how to quit God. You will only know how to quit. You will only know how to run away and stop believing. But if you learn how to enter into the rest of God, learn to wait upon the Lord until God speaks to you, let me tell you, you will discover new strength. You will discover new anointing, new mercy, new grace coming upon you. And you will continue running until you reach the other side. You know what? In closing, I just want to say this one thing. If there's one homework that you can do, is that number one, you need to pray. And you need to wait upon the Lord until you hear God's voice. Now, if you say, but Pastor, how can I hear God's voice? Remember what Pastor Kong said? Meditation is one way that God's word speaks back to you. So what do? Meditate on God's word. Now, this is what I want you to do. Maybe you can take a verse that you feel gravitated to. Maybe you can take a verse that God has been speaking to you, that God has been showing Himself to you, a verse. Now, take that verse, right, and meditate upon that verse. Now, what do you need to do? Write down 50 things, 50 revelation from that verse. 50. Now, you cannot cheat. Must hit 50. How long does it take? I don't care. Until you get 50. Write 50 things from that one verse. It's almost like a crossword puzzle, you know, right? You know, find all the words from that just one few letters. All right? You get all the words. You get all the revelation. You get all the things that God is speaking to you. Now, understand this. You will realize that it will take 1 day, 2 days, 3 days to completely finish 50 revelation or 50 things that God is speaking to you. But you will realize this, after you have completed 50, I want you to circle the top 5 that speaks the most to you. Circle top 5. Now, and then you look, you will realize this, that top 5 that speaks the most to you, actually, you discover it not at the first 5 minutes. You will realize most of it, you actually got it. Second day, third day, or even the longest day. Now that speaks to us one thing. In order for you to hear from God, it requires you to wait upon Him. And this is one way that you can do. Take a verse, meditate upon it, write 50 things that you can learn from it, circle the top 5, and you will realize that top 5, most of it are actually discovered or revealed to you by God. Not on the first 5 minutes. Certainly half an hour. It probably takes days. Learn to wait upon the Lord. This is the homework that I want to give to you. And I pray that God will speak to you like only He can. And it will become your word. Because one word from heaven is enough to change our entire destiny. So City Harvest Church, I pray that you have been blessed by the word of God. And before we end, I want you to close your eyes and bow your head again. And you know what, today, why don't you learn to wait upon the Lord? Why don't you learn to be still in the midst of emptiness to hear from God? City Harvest Church, maybe some of you today are in a problem right now. But right where you are, I don't want you to be distracted. But I want you to really seek God and learn to trust in Him. And learn to come into a state of being of rest until God speaks to you. You know what? If you are going through problems, I pray that this week will be a week of breakthrough for all of you, because God speaks to you. And when God speaks to you, one word from heaven is enough to change your entire destiny. City Harvest Church, if that is you, if you want God to speak to you, I want you to put your hands on your heart, right where you are. And I want you to receive this prayer by faith. Father, I pray for each and every members who is listening the word of God here today. I pray that this week, as they learn to meditate upon the word, as they learn to pray, as they learn to stop their hurriedness, stop their running helter and skelter, and when they learn to stop and pray, when they stop to learn to wait upon the Lord, I pray that this week, heaven will be so open over their life. Jesus, you will speak a word in season for them. You will speak a word so direct, so clear, pertaining to what they must do in their circumstances. Father, we know that when you speak, your word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It will lead us and guide us into all truth and into our deliverance and salvation. So Holy Spirit, speak to us like only you can. Learn, quieten down our hearts so that we learn not to run helter and skelter, but we learn to be like Mary, to wait upon the Lord, to choose the good part until we hear you speaking to us. Father, we pray, not only you will speak to us audibly, you will speak to us so clearly, but Lord, speak to us through the word of God. As some of us begin to learn to meditate, let that word begin to speak so deeply into our hearts until we experience the rest of God. So Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this morning. We thank you that your word is alive and your word is powerful. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you blessed by this week's podcast? Tell us at connect@chc.org.sg.